I love spring. I really enjoyed this last week when it hit 22 or something like that. So after a real gentle winter, we had this awesome introduction to spring. And the nice thing about living in Canada is we get to enjoy seasonal changes. And God really gave us a nice one, at least so far. But we're going to talk a little bit about the season that we are in as a church. That's where I'm going today. And besides the season that the church is in, each of us are in different seasons. I'm looking out and I can't tell who just came through a storm or who's in the middle of a storm or who's facing the challenge of their life and who's just come through maybe the challenge of their lives. So we're all at different places as far as that goes, but definitely as far as the church goes and from the context I'm living in, which I'm sorry, that's the only one I'm really familiar with, is for the church, it's been a season of testing, and it's been difficult, especially in terms of leadership. It's been a difficult season. I think Mike is saying amen as well. So we're at a place where there has been some big challenges, but we're also at a place where there's incredible potential that lays ahead. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. And in Proverbs 3, verse 5, we're not quite there, but we're getting there. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." How many of you believe that you are in a place where God is taking you through things to make you more spiritually mature? Okay, I think that is, if you are a believer today, then that is on God's agenda for you, for me. He wants to mature us for various reasons. I know in my case, I just need maturity. That's obvious. So God uses a number of things to do that. And even though God will not tempt us with evil, he will allow trials, he'll allow tests, and yes, he'll even allow temptation to come into our lives to test us. So he will not, the Bible says clearly, he does not tempt us with evil, but he also does clearly allow things to happen in our lives that we come up against that are not always easy to deal with. And when those things come, we may be tempted to handle them completely independent of God, very possibly in our own strength. They come upon us quickly. We don't give it a second thought. We just perhaps just jump right in the flesh, in our own strength, and try our best to fight our way through it. Would we have a good reason to keep God out of any of the situations that we face? No. No. There isn't anything that we would go through that we would say, oh boy, no, I don't want God in on this one. Of course, sometimes we might be doing things that we're not really interested in bringing God along. That might be possible. But when we're faced with trials, there isn't one thing that God doesn't want to be a part of, that God doesn't want to have a very key role for us in dealing with it. That's where I'm going today. I find that I don't intentionally shut him out of things. It may not be my first thought. I get caught up in a challenge, and it might not be till the wheels really start coming off that I'm going, oh man, that's what's wrong here. I haven't really brought God into the picture, and I need to I need God to intervene on my behalf. I need the faith of Christ to rise up in me. And I need the faith in my faith in Christ to begin to speak to the situation. And I need to be speaking truth and meditating on truth and getting God's perspective, because that will make a world of difference. God wants faith in him to be part of the fabric of our existence. So you see up there, James 1, there's three verses there that I'm going to just focus on for the better part of our time together. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That was in the English Standard Version, if you're seeing words that are not quite familiar. But the trying of our faith. So what can we glean from these three verses? Well, the first thing is an unusual thing, which is not unusual in terms of God's kingdom, but it's unusual in terms of what the world might think or react with, and that is, count it all joy. It seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem like the right response when we're facing difficulty, but James is really clear in speaking truth about this. So I was wondering, you know, here James, this is the brother of Jesus, the apostle, who is exhorting what would have probably been the Jewish believers at the time. And he begins almost at the very outset with something fairly provocative and maybe contrary to the way people were thinking back then. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials. So I'm thinking he was speaking to people that were meeting trials. He was speaking to people that were being tested. He may have been speaking to people that were being killed for their faith, perhaps even. Certainly being persecuted. We know at that time there would have been all kinds of persecution happening. We know that from the life of Paul before he got converted, that he was harassing and even killing Christians. So with that in mind, James comes ahead with a challenging word. Not only is he saying, go through it, Christians, but count it all joy when you do. So, you know, sometimes when we face the tough stuff, various things happen. One of the first things that might happen for me is I feel sorry for myself. That's not in that scripture. That's not encouraged. But we feel sorry for ourselves. Somehow we just don't feel it's fair that we would have to go through something. And maybe we're going through something that is very similar to what we had just gone through. And we're going through it again. And somehow it just doesn't seem fair. Or we go through it and the first thing we want to do is blame somebody. We don't know why we're going through something, but boy, it would be good to pin it on somebody, because it's just not my fault. So it's got to be somebody else's fault. No. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. So the second part of that verse is when you meet trials. So it's not a count it all joy if you meet trials. Not count it all joy in the off chance that something bad may happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So when you meet trials, count it all joy. And sometimes you don't even realize a test is coming until it's right upon you. The testing and the trials seldom announce themselves ahead of time. And maybe it's better that way. I never like to know. I'd just sooner bring it on, and if you know, I don't want to know that 3 weeks from now a major event is going to happen in my life that's going to have me on my knees in tears. Just bring it on. Just bring it on. So it doesn't usually happen that way. On occasion it does, but sometimes it doesn't. I was thinking about this word, and I was thinking about something we did about, 10 years ago. We were down in Los Angeles, and I think we were going to an Equip in L.A. There was several of us, and we had an opportunity to go to Disneyland. Now, Mo, this is a little bit about you. I hope you don't mind. There was a little bit of a conspiracy happening that day. We were all heading to a ride that in California Adventure that was a little bit more aggressive than some of the other rides. And there was a conspiracy that we wanted Mo to come with us. And now it's a good diversion for me because I'm not much of a ride guy either. But Mo, I wasn't quite ready for it. But there was a conspiracy, so we tried to distract her. We went in the line. We kept chatting her up and turning her away from the ride so she wouldn't kind of get the visual effect. And I had the privilege, maybe I've shared this a little bit, but I had the privilege of sitting right next to Mo. And we strapped ourselves in, and there was a little bit of apprehension there, but still not the full realization of what kind of a ride we had just gone on. But it was a roller coaster. And So we start moving, and she started saying, We're not gonna go upside down, are we? We're not going, we're upside down. That's kind of how it happened. She got too, we're not gonna go upside down, are we? And then we're upside down. So that's kind of how trials come to us. We don't have much time to prepare. It's the point I'm making there. And before you know it, we're upside down. You see, we will all go through trials. Some we cannot avoid. And I would ask the question, how did we do? If you had to score how you did through the trial, have you ever done that? Assess the aftermath amidst all the shrapnel and the shambles and the dust and the smoke. How did we do? How do we stack up? Did I have faith before me? Did I have faith before me, or was... That's my favorite graphic, actually. Did I have my shield of faith before me, or was I doing one of these? But that's a good contrast of the way we can deal with difficult situations. We can just try and run in fear, or we can face it. And you know how it goes when you've gone through a trial without any faith. It doesn't usually go well. It doesn't usually go well. If you've ever been beaten and spit out, that's usually how it feels. But God wants to take us through these things so that we can exercise some faith and some trust in God. It really takes some moxie. It takes faith to exercise faith. It takes faith to say, God, I'm going to just let you do what you need to do on this thing. I'm going to take my hands off. I'm going to trust you. It says further in this group of verses, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, that the word testing in the Greek refers to a positive test intended to make one's faith genuine. There's a reason behind the test, and it's just to percolate faith and dependence on God in us. And you know, when that happens, if you go through a similar test again, it's not as hard. It really isn't. And what you are going through today, man, maybe a couple years ago, there is no way you could have gone through it. But God has prepared you. Most tests don't feel very positive. But God's tests draw faith out of us. An interesting thing happened to me when I was a youngster. I went to summer camp, and I didn't know how to swim, and which wasn't unusual for those of us who were growing up in rural Saskatchewan. There wasn't many pools around, and the ones that were, you had to kick the ducks out before you could swim in them. But I went to summer camp, and they were doing a water safety thing. So I had a fear of water at the time. I've since gotten over it, and I've since learned how to keep my head above water. But at the time, we were going to go do this thing, and it involved putting on life jackets and going out in a canoe and dumping the canoe, and then to do the safety, learn how to do the safety things. But there was that loss of control that had me a little bit concerned. And when we went over, I was wearing my life jacket. I came close to drowning because I panicked in a life jacket. It's possible to drown if you're wearing a life jacket, believe it or not. And you panic. And what I wasn't able to put my trust in was the life jacket. Now, the life jacket would have held my nose in my mouth several inches above the surface of the water, and I would have been able to breathe successfully had I just relaxed and trusted the life jacket. But instead, I was going about 11 different ways trying to survive impending death, so I thought. What I learned that day is I needed to trust. I needed to trust. And the fact that I couldn't trust almost killed me. So what is God after? We have this word steadfastness. Another version calls it patience. Another version calls it endurance. So that's what God is trying to build in us. Can I trust God in the midst of a trial? Can I actually walk victoriously through it? Can good things proceed out of my life even in the midst of a storm? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Sometimes it's hard to see what good could come out of something, but God is able to bring something good out of absolutely anything. Sometimes the most dire thing, the most desperate situations, death itself, God can bring good things out of seemingly hopeless things. Further on in the scripture, it says, let steadfastness have its full effect. Another version says, let patience have her perfect work. God's doing something. God's doing something. It's not an instant thing. There's a work involved here. There's actually a process. Let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work. Endurance. Several of you are into long-distance running. I know Adam is, and Starla. It's hard. But there is a preparation, and you can't start with endurance. You actually have to work your way into it, obviously. And so that's what trials do for us. They build us up and build us up, build our endurance, build our spiritual endurance, that we're able to go through the process. God has us in a process. He actually intends to perfect us. May not happen tomorrow, But we know ultimately God will have his way. He is going to perfect us. He's put his perfect love in us in the form of Christ. It's there. And now the rest of us is coming along. We could opt to kick and scream our way through the process, and it would just be painful. Just be painful. The sign there says uncharted territory. How often have we resisted a little bit in going in that direction? I've never been that way before, and I don't want to start now. And sometimes we really, really do dig our heels in, dig our fingernails in, and say, no, God, I don't want to go there. God really does like to have his way. His ways are higher than our ways. We've incorporated into our songs, more of you, God, less of me. Those lyrics are born out of struggle. those lyrics are the result of learning something, that it's good to have more of God and less of me. More of me, not so good. Can we give ourselves to the one who loves us? Can we trust him enough that we can give him our lives? You know, maybe you're here today and this is really totally out in left field for you. Maybe you're here, you're not a Christian, and you're just hearing this for the first time. God puts his life in just normal, failing people and brings newness and his ways instead of our ways, where we don't have to. Where we don't have to rely on our failures, we can rely on his success. Jesus, when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted, gave himself to the process. He didn't bail out halfway through. When he was taken out into the wilderness to be tested, he didn't go, oh, Satan, I've had enough of this. This is stupid. I'm getting a bite to eat. You know, he didn't do that. He didn't think it was beneath him to be tempted, which is interesting because he was God. Yet he submitted himself to the process. He gave himself over to what needed to happen. Jesus Christ needed to be tempted by Satan that day. And he needed to be tempted in three different temptations, and he had to go through it. And he did. So glad for the heart of Christ that would take him there and would ultimately take him to the cross. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, I'm going to read this in the Amplified just to pull it apart a little bit, but it says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now, and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. Now, if it was just you and me, there is no way that we could even say that. But in Christ, we can actually say that. In Christ, there is actually a way. Boy, I was blessed on Friday to be in the company of 20 or 25 guys who had their minds set on one thing. They wanted to make sure they got victory over their thought life. They did not want to go down the road of pornography and wicked thoughts that just suck the life out of a church. That they wanted to find the answer for purity and victory in their lives and be vulnerable with each other. Man, that was encouraging. And you know, that's how it is. If we're struggling with something, whether it's struggling with our pornography addiction or whatever it is, whatever addiction or whatever it is, and you've come to the end of it, you've come to the end of yourself, isn't it amazing to know that Jesus Christ actually does have an answer and it really can work? How profound is that? Sometimes God actually wants to bring correction and wisdom to our lives. Sometimes we've reaped the results of a whole lot of sin and struggle. And God wants to bring that correction and wisdom into us. Proverbs 3, verse 12. For those whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Again, this is in the Amplified. Happy, blessed, considered fortunate, to be admired, is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gains understanding and insight, learning from God's words and life's experiences. For wisdom's profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain is better than fine gold. It goes on to say, and rubies, and the greatest treasure you could ever find on earth. That's how valuable the wisdom of God is. Now, that doesn't mean we're reckless in the things we do. It means trusting God to have our backs. We can trust God to have our backs, always looking out for us, always having our best in his heart. Now, what we think is our best is the best for us may not necessarily be what God thinks is the best for us. How many know that? You know, we come to God with our agendas, and God says, no, let me come to you with my agenda. I've got a better way. And it will take you to life, not what we think is going to get us life. So I want to make sure those were those three verses that we looked at. It's going to be very important to go to James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him for help. When we seem to be failing some of the tests we face, God wants to help us. He wants to give us tools. He wants to see us emerge in victory. You know, we sometimes get it in our mind, especially when we have just failed, when we're flat on our face failed, that we have no right to ask God for anything. And I guess in the natural, no, we don't. No, we don't. But Christ made a way so we can look up at our Father and say, I'm going to ask for wisdom. I'm going to ask for the answer that I need, even though I have failed this many times and here I am again, flat on my face. God gives generously. He gives generously. He will not withhold. He loves his children. Those who make a difference in the world are always risk takers. Faith is about risk and adventure. The Holy Spirit is most active in us when we are most active building his kingdom here. We were never meant to be a timid club huddled together for safety, but a pilgrim family in progress. So that really rang true for me. And I know sometimes we don't feel like dynamic adventurers, but we are. But we are. We're doing things like counting it all joy. We're doing things that the world just doesn't do. And so the season that is ahead is one where we're going to be saying, God, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to win this victory. You're going to have to break through in this area. And we're going to see. We're going to see some good things. We're going to see some exciting things happen in the days ahead. We're going to see people's lives changed. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see our community affected. And you know, I know it doesn't just, it isn't just going to happen here. It isn't just going to happen with a daycare. It's not going to just happen with a Sunday school. It's going to happen where we all live. It's going to happen on a playground. It's going to happen at a parent-teacher meeting. It's going to happen at the arena. It's going to happen at George Little Park on Wednesday. Wherever it is, it's going to happen. God's going to do good things. Can you believe for that?
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.